Today on Awaken to Grace, we're in part two of our sermon on touring the New Jerusalem. We're in Revelation 21. We're walking with the great Apostle John through the New Jerusalem, through heaven, what the Bible calls eternity. The Bible commentary writer J.C. Ryrie once said, "How dull and earthy the mind of a Christian must be that never thinks of heaven." Well, friends, the Bible tells us what heaven is going to be like. It tells us what we're going to see, hear, and experience. I hope you enjoy today's episode as we continue to walk with John through what is going to be our eternal home. Let's go to Revelation 21 together. Murderers can receive Jesus. But let me tell you, this does not mean physical murder. What did Jesus say? You have hatred in your heart, it's murder. You have lust in your heart, it's sexual immorality, it's adultery. Is that not next, Caleb? Read it for me.
The sexually immoral.
The sexually immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. Friends, I want you to hear my heart today. I want you to hear my pastoral heart. Is what you call sexual immorality what the Bible calls it? You need to see if it matches up. Because if the Bible calls it sexual immorality and you don't, guess who's in for a rude awakening when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? We're living in a culture today that has no morality. None. And let me tell you, I don't care what culture says. I don't care what society says. Say amen if you're with me right now. I don't care what the laws of the United States of America say. God's standard of morality does not change. And the Supreme Court, let me tell you, it's above their pay grade. Congress, Senate, Supreme Court does not change God's law. And I wouldn't be on the wrong end of it if I were you. What's next?
Sorcerers.
Sorcerers. What's this mean? Divination? You check your horoscope every day? Friends, that's sorcery. You mess around with palm readings? You mess with tarot cards? Wiccans? Do you know what a stronghold Wiccans are in our region? And let me tell you, it's evil. It's wicked. And God will judge it. If you're under the sound of my voice today and you're dabbling in witchcraft and you're dabbling in Wiccan stuff, this pagan stuff, let me tell you, you're angering God Almighty. And you'll stand in judgment. What's next?
Idolaters.
Idolaters, graven images, but let me tell you, that's not it. What idolatry means is anything that competes with the heart and the mind and wins out above God. That's idolatry. And Colossians says that greed can be idolatry in our lives. And don't tell me that Americans don't suffer from that. Amen? Amen. I fight it and you fight it, right? Next.
And all liars.
What'd you say?
All liars.
Oh, you want the Greek word for all is? All. So that means if you're really good at white lies, guess what category you're in? All. Let me tell you how the Bible defines lying. Deception. There are no loopholes here. Say, Chad, why are you being so hard? Because, let me tell you, the Bible is hard. The Bible calls this thing a narrow path. And you know what the Bible says in Matthew 7? The way of the world, the way the Bible calls it, the way of destruction is wide and broad. And most are on that path.
And the Bible says the way to life, the way to this new city, the way to eternity, the way to God is a narrow path. And the Bible says few there be that's on it. Which path are you on today? I preach hard because let me tell you, you don't know, like our precious sister Pat, you don't know when you're going to be called into eternity. And let me tell you, of everything I know about our beloved sister Pat Fry, of everything I knew her well, we shared many, 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 many conversations and many praying. And let me tell you what I knew about Pat. I knew she's born again. And let me tell you, on the day that your number's called, and on the day that you'll stand before God Almighty, the most important thing about you will be, were you born again? That'd be the most important. And everything you've worked toward, and everything you've worked for, and everything you've spent your life on, you know what it says is going to happen? 2 Peter 3:10, it's going to dissolve. Are you right with God? Now let me tell you what I like about this list. Has anybody ever lied? Raise your hand if you're a liar today. And if you don't, guess what? You're a liar. Anyone ever stolen anything? Oh, now I'm not a thief. Come on now. You ever taken something that wasn't yours? Let me tell you, if God holds me in account for all the books I've never returned to other people, oh, Lord Jesus. Pastors are notorious book thieves. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because, number one, I can't see you. But number two, are you an adulterer? Because if you've lusted after your heart, after someone in your heart, you're an adulterer. What's my point? My point is that apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us is in this list of eight. Every one of us. So my question today is, what are you trusting in? Better question, who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you saying, I'm not that bad of a person? No, you're in this list. You're sexually immoral. You're a liar. You're cowardly. You're detestable. You're polluted and corrupted. You're in this list, and I'm in this list. And apart from Jesus, what hope do we have? And that's why if you are part of this list, let me tell you, those of us that we are, we better lean as hard as we can lean into the grace of God. We better trust every hour in the sufficiency of Jesus and not ourselves. Amen? So what is salvation? Those who are not born again, they're trusting in themselves. Those who are born again, they're trusting in the grace of God. Which are you trusting in today? You trusting in the Lord Jesus, or are you trusting in your goodness, in your good living, in being a good person, and being right? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I've not come for those who don't think they need a physician. I've come for those who are sick and they know they need help. Let me tell you, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you where you can find me without him. You can find me in that list in verse 8. But no, because of Jesus, you know where now you can find me? My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Is yours? Let's continue.
And their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Now, we studied that last week. Remember, we said everyone dies a physical death. That's when the soul detaches from the body and either goes to the Lord or goes to hell. The second death is when the soul is condemned to the lake of fire. Now, someone asked me this week, and let me bring great clarification here. The lake of fire, someone asked me, does that mean that You're tormented in hell, but when hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, according to chapter 20, does that mean that you'll just be annihilated? No. Friends, I want you to hear me now. Nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible teach annihilation for sinners. Some people believe that, but no. Here's what the Bible teaches. In the lake of fire, you will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Friends, that's eternity. And that's for people who are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you die, if you're unsaved, you'll die the physical death, the soul departing from the body, but then you'll die the second death, which is the soul being cast into the lake of fire. If you are born again, you'll die the physical death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you'll never die the second death. So here's how I like to say it. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. You must be born again. Amen. Continue, please.
Verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues.
Now, isn't that interesting? Remember what we said throughout our study? 60 times in Revelation we are introduced to angels. Isn't that something? By the way, Lord willing, unless the Holy Spirit were to change course, the whole month of December, I'm going to teach on angels. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. But the whole month is going to be on angels, and I can't wait. 60 times we're introduced to angels in the book of Revelation. Now, this angel was part of pouring out the seven plagues upon the earth. Isn't that interesting? Now, John is going to have a remarkable tour guide. Have you ever done interesting tours before? You know, now that I'm completely blind, sometimes I think, God, you allowed me to live what feels like multiple lifetimes. I've done some great tours in my life. I've been able to tour many, many places, many, many cities. The Lord's allowed me to travel through 40 countries. And I've seen so many wonderful things. I've had a tour guide through the Cuchi tunnels of Vietnam, which was utterly fascinating. I've had tour guides through the pyramids of Egypt and the Egyptian Museum, through the Alexandrian Library. I've had many tour guides. And what does a tour guide do? It explains what you're seeing, right? How many of you have been to Biltmore and had the little audio tour guide? That's nice. You can rewind. John is going to have this angelic tour guide. And let's pay attention to what he tells us that we're seeing. I think it's incredibly fascinating. So what have we talked about? The conditions of eternity, all the no mores, there's no more sun, no more moon, no more gates shut, no more crying, no more death, no more evil, no more sea. Oh, I forgot that. Why is there not going to be oceans in this new heavens and new earth? You know, right now the earth is 3/4 water, 79% of the earth is covered by water. Why will it not be in the new heavens and the new earth? Scholars think because what do oceans do? They separate mankind. God's going to bring it all back together. Amen. Let's now see the capital city, the New Jerusalem. Remember, we've said through our study, especially when we studied Babylon, the Bible is a tale of two cities, Jerusalem and Babylon. When Babylon falls in chapters 17 and 18, we rejoice in heaven in the beginning part of chapter 19. It is a major, major deal. And I just don't think until we get to heaven and we really understand the weightiness and the gravity of Babylon forever falling, because what is coming next? The new Jerusalem. And what is the new Jerusalem? It is going to be God's eternal capital city. And the significance is profound. Don't let me forget to tell you about the Holy of Holies. Go ahead, Caleb. Take us through it.
And he spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel,
Amen.
Like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
So let's pause right here. If you're going to take notes, note a few things right here. It's very interesting that the 12 sons of Jacob, of Israel, are inscribed on the gates. Because if you know anything about the 12 sons of Jacob, you know they were wicked men. Read about Judah in Genesis 38. It'd make your mouth drop. Reuben and his great sin. Dan and his great sin. I mean, Jacob, these were the brothers of Joseph. They sold Joseph into slavery for crying out loud and then lied to their aged father. They were wicked men. Why would God inscribe their names? You know why? Because it is a forever testimony that God forgives sin. It speaks of the old covenant. It speaks of the Old Testament saints. Then we come to the foundations of the city. 12 foundations. Speaks of its permanence. Speaks that it is eternal. And what's inscribed on that? All of the apostles, the ones who fled, the ones who ran, the ones who cowered away. Remember when Jesus appeared through the locked door and walls? And what were the disciples doing? They were hiding in fear. Jesus said, peace. And then Jesus says, the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And then he filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they turned the world upside down. So the 12 gates with the 12 sons of Israel speaks of the Old Testament saints. The 12 apostles speaks of the New Testament, of the New Testament saints. Friends, you know what it's saying? This is a city for all of the people of God, both Old Covenant and New Covenant. Continue, please.
Verse 15. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with this rod.
Okay, let's pause right there. Its length was the same as the width. Now, this is important to note. Take notes on this if you're a note taker. In Moses' tabernacle, the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube, 15 feet on each wall. In Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies was a perfect cube, 30 feet on each wall. What is the New Jerusalem? Friends, you know what it is? It is a mammoth and an eternal Holy of Holies. It is, in our measurement today, this is 1,500 miles. To give us a picture of this, think with me. Take a line from Miami in South Florida and draw a line north to Maine. Then draw a line from Maine westward to Minneapolis. Then draw a line south down to Houston. And then draw a line from Houston back over to Miami. And that's the capital city. And friends, that's just the ground floor. This thing is 1,500 miles equal. But listen, it's 1,500 miles high into the stratosphere. What is this? This is a mammoth, eternal, holy of holies. And why is it going to be the eternal Holy of Holies? because God himself is going to dwell there. Amen? Friends, we can't even fathom something like this. Do you know what this is? Do you know what it is? When Paul went to the third heavens, this is where he went. And you know what Paul wrote? Paul said, it's not entered into the mind of man, the imagination, or the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know what this is? It's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, friends. This is what Jesus was talking about. Do you know what this is? It's Hebrews 10, 11. Abraham, who sought a city, a country, whose builder and maker is God. This is the new Jerusalem. And it's going to be our forever and permanent home. And you know how big it is? It's big enough to hold all of God's people of every century, of every age of the earth. Amen? Amen? Continue on, please.
And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement.
So that would be, in ours, 216 feet wide, 1,500 miles high.
The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear glass.
Clear glass. So scholars believe this jasper would have been like a clear stone. Scholars describe it this way, shimmering ice. That's what the walls will look like, shimmering ice. Continue.
The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gates were made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold.
Okay, two things I want you to note right here. Why a single pearl? Now, these are not clusters of pearls. This is one gigantic pearl. Each of them, 12 gates, each a single pearl. See, pearl was not kosher. It's not of the Jewish culture here. Pearl was, this is a Gentile thing. You know why? Because what did Jesus call his blood-bought church? The pearl of great price. Friends, this speaks of the church in this great city. Amen. Did you notice Peter, which gate Peter's at? No, because Peter's not at any gate. All right? So there you go. And what are the roads? Pure gold. You know, some preachers who don't take the Bible literal, they say, oh, it's an allegory. No, friends. If the Bible says it's pure gold, it's pure gold. What a small thing for the creator of the universe. You know, I read one time about a man. He was the ultimate loophole guy. And he died. And, you know, you can't take anything with you. The Bible says naked you came into the world and naked you'll leave the world. You can't take any of your stuff with you. But this guy, somehow, through a loophole, he ended up taking all of his gold. And he walks up to the pearly white gates and St. Peter's sitting there. Again, he's not, but just follow my joke. And St. Peter's there and the man walks up with a wheelbarrow full of gold. And Peter looks at the guy and says, how come you brought pavement with you? What have we said? What's one reason why the streets are pure gold? What's one reason? Because the thing of most value down here is of the least value up there. It's just pavement.